you in so-called midlife and found yourself suddenly single after probably years of marriage and you're absolutely shitting it? Maybe you're on a divorce downer and have zero idea how the fuck to move on. Or you know how to in theory, but it's just not happening. If that's you, you're in the right place. This is the Divorce Chapter podcast, where we turn the unexpected divorce plot twist into a new and improved happily ever after. I'm Sarah Elizabeth, divorce coach and mentor, and I'm with you on this mission to rewrite our stories and make this next chapter the best goddamn one yet. Hello and welcome to the Divorce Chapter podcast. How are you doing? I have a question for you. Are you struggling to imagine your life without him? You had all your future mapped out, right? And now it's all screwed? I hear you. And it's why this week I thought we could talk about creating a new vision for the future after divorce. Because, you know, I think all of us who've gone through a breakup and divorce really fucking feel this. If you're anything like me, you were with him a long ass time. And with that comes, I don't know, some sort of security, I guess, in where you're going in life. You've got all the history together, all the foundations. And so with that comes the expectation that that is exactly how it'll continue, you know, till death do us part and all that, right? My ex-husband and I have been together 22 years and married for nearly 20. You kind of think you get that far and you're set for life, you know? Our kids were now both over 18. The eldest had already left home. And I honestly thought we had our whole life ahead of us. You know, we'd been such young parents. It felt good that we were still young enough to have fun and enjoy the fruits of our labour, if you like. We had a beaut home, a nice lifestyle with holidays and weekends away. Everything finally seemed good. And my expectations for our future was more of that, and more so with grandchildren to come and fill our home and hearts with more joy. I mean, the grandchildren have come. I've got number 5 due imminently, and they certainly do fill my heart and my home with joy. But it wasn't quite as I thought it would be. Because then the mother of all earthquakes hit. And I describe it like this because I feel like we'd built up this whole mini world around us. Everything we were, everything we had was our world. And suddenly someone had picked up that world and shook it to smithereens until every single bit of it, all, every bit, had fallen down and crumbled in a pile of desecrated earth. My picture of that was like me just in this field of dust. I was metaphorically and literally curled in a ball on the floor, not quite even knowing if I was still alive and if I'd make it through. And, you know, even when I started to find my feet and try and stand up again, there was another tremor, another aftershock, you know, just to make sure, for the avoidance of doubt, that my whole world was no longer fucking standing. There was nothing left. Everywhere I looked was bleak. There was just dark emptiness of blank space in this metaphorical physical world. And dust was all that was left. And of course, in those early days, it was fucking scary. Just living in this new destroyed world all by myself. And actually, I think once he saw the damage he'd done, he was perhaps, maybe, kind of scared too. And I think that's why he started begging to take me back. But there was a tiny, tiny bit of me that knew that I had a blank landscape now to rebuild it exactly as I goddamn liked, exactly as I wanted. Oh, it was tempting, don't get me wrong, because to go back would have been so much easier. He was all I'd known for so long, and I genuinely had no idea how to live without him. He was somehow safe, even though he was the one that destroyed it all. I couldn't see a life without him. I just couldn't. Or didn't want to have to, maybe. But I must have realised somewhere deep in that gut of mine that I'd forgotten how to trust, that I did have a choice. I could go back to him and try and rebuild what we'd had, but the foundations were now fucked. And that would have meant a lifetime of just waiting for it all to fall down again. Lifetime of a lack of trust, more lies, more betrayal, never knowing where I was. And somehow I must have known that there was a better choice for me. It was almost like I was suddenly thrown in this kitchen showroom with all a load of glossy brochures and shiny surfaces. And I hadn't known that I'd needed a new kitchen. But then suddenly realising the old kitchen was a bit broken and not as shiny and wonderful as I thought it was. You know, I mean, when we started building that old world, we were not much more than kids ourselves. And there I stood alone, but with a whole load of knowledge and experience I'd not had before. And I could design what I wanted, right? Except where to start? Where to start? And that's where I didn't have a fucking clue, my friend. Not a clue. And perhaps it's not actually that surprising after all. Have you ever heard of the end of history illusion? It's basically a psychological thing, almost like a fake vision, if you like, where we are able to recognise just how much we've grown, reflect on how much we've learned, how much we've experienced, but only up to now. We're unable, essentially, to be able to comprehend that same trajectory of growth, learning and experiences for our future. So let me break that down a bit and just have a think about this for a minute, because I think it helps perhaps rationalize why we can't picture a new future when our old expected vision has been destroyed. So think back 10 years, okay? What clothes were you wearing? I was newly divorced and I was experimenting with wearing dresses and skirts after years of hiding my legs away in trousers. What music was you listening to 10 years ago? What music was you listening to? I mean, all I can think of is that bloody Just Give Me a Reason by Pink, as that was everywhere when I was newly separated. That's about all I can think of. Where were you living? I just moved into Princess Cottage after all those years in my marital home, which had just been sold in the bankruptcy and divorce. What furniture did you have? I had mostly stuff I'd taken from the marital home. Because, you know, remember, he'd bought a new sofa with his mistress. New goddamn sofa. What job did you do? I was a social worker, but at that time I was still a senior and I think was just about to become a manager. What books were you reading 10 years ago? I loved a bit of Martina Cole, to be honest. Though, actually, do you know what? I spent ages queuing to see her at a book signing once and she was really rude and didn't engage at all, like her fans were annoying her or something, which then forever tarnished my views of her. I hope she was just having an off day and it's not always like that. But anyway, have a quick think about those questions and reflect on where you were 10 years ago. And then think about now, 10 years on. What clothes are you wearing now? I'll wear trousers loads again now, but I tend to wear flat, chunky boots or trainers instead of heels, which I would not have even dreamed of probably 10 years back. What music are you listening to now? For me, I've got a pretty eclectic taste, and to be honest, I listen mostly to other podcasts now, rather than music. If I do switch music on, I tend to like the old shit anyway. Where are you living? I've just moved to Peach Palace in a town about half hour away from the village I'd lived in for 30 years. Definitely was not expecting that 10 years ago. What furniture do you have? I don't think I've got a lot left at all for my marital home. I've got lots of new stuff. I've got gorgeous, comfy velvet sofa chair things, which 10 years ago would not have been on trend, would not have bought them. They would have been old fashioned 10 years ago. What job do you do? I'm still a social worker, but now a head of department. And of course, I've set up this divorce work on the side too. And I couldn't have imagined 10 years ago that I'd turn this pain into power, you know? What books are you reading? I rarely read fiction now, unless it's by my friend's daughter-in-law, who's an author. Nowadays, I only read personal development books, hence the divorce book club coming. So you can see it's definitely all changed for me. And I'm guessing probably quite a big change for you too from 10 years ago, yeah? So then let's think ahead again in another 10 years, right? We've done 10 years ago, we've done now. So in 10 years' time, what clothes will you be wearing? What music will you be listening to? Where will you be living? What furniture will you have? What job will you do? What books will you be reading? Hello, it's still me, but I'm just coming in here really quickly to let you know about a new freebie I've got for you. Beyond Breakup, the 10 must-read divorce books. So if you're going through a divorce and love reading, but have no idea where to start in this new genre of books you found yourself in, take a look at my free guide. It's like having an on-hand librarian, my love. The link's in the show notes, so have a click. And now, back to the episode. I can pretty much hazard a guess. You'll base it on the current answers to all those questions. And if I'd have asked you these questions 10 years ago on what would be the answers now, I know that most of the answers would have been based on the you and your life 10 years ago. So looking back, we can see how far we've come and what's changed. But we just can't move ourselves forward into the future in the same way when we just don't know. There'll be new books, new music, new jobs, probably many that don't even exist today. Apparently something like, I think it's about 65%, 70% of the kids of today will end up working in jobs that do not yet exist. 65%! It's fucking mental! I think back to when I was a kid, even the concept of an online divorce business with a podcast just would not even have been in the realms of potential for me. I couldn't even have imagined it. Like, what? A podcast? What's a podcast? What's an online? Probably then, you know? Crazy. Yeah, when my eldest son was a baby, I've got this really strong memory of feeding him one afternoon. And I switched on the TV and Oprah was on. And it was this episode with a guy, tech guy, a guy, predicting what sort of tech we'd have in 20 years' time, or so, 20 years, I think. So this would have been, well, my son was a baby, so end of 91, early 92. And the two things that stood out the most, and which I remember so vividly, were one, that we'd be able to get fridges where if we took something out of it, it would like add to an electronic shopping list and reorder it for us, which I don't know, it's probably happening somewhere now, at least not, it's probably not far off if it's not already happening. And number two, this was my biggie, where I sat shaking my head in disbelief. They said that we'd have televisions that hang on the wall like a picture. I was like, what? I'm watching this on this massive square box. How? Just how would they be able to get all of the insides into something that went on the wall like a picture? Yeah, I know. No vision. No imagination. Let's not even get started on iPhones. You know, we can't. We just don't picture our lives in that much detail 10 years ahead. Basically, because of this illusion, this end of history illusion. History stops now. Everything in our heads stays as it is now, pretty much. Careers, houses, kitchen equipment, tech, styles of clothes, home decor. Our ideas are based on what is our current reality. So if we want our lives to look different, whilst no, we can't predict necessarily, we can try at least to think about the broader vision for our new lives. And that means when we're thinking about our future and what we want, it's thinking about how we want to feel, who we want to be. Because let's face it, when we think about our futures, we do tend to think in terms of material things and physical jobs, for example. It's almost never about that in itself. It's about what we feel, what our souls want. And that means it's much more than we can see. It's also thinking with that end of history illusion in mind that there is unlimited potential. Rather than staying stuck in what's predictable and what we know, remember, anything can happen. So what do you want your life to feel like? It might be that you want a big house and loads of physical things, but all of that is about a feeling. It's never about the thing. It's always about the feeling that we think the thing will bring us, and about values. Okay? So it might be about a feeling of abundance or of wealth. But that's the feeling, that's the value it brings you rather than the thing. Does that make sense? I think often all of that can be the stuff that gets so lost in our relationships. It's like we get caught up in the identity of the marriage as a whole, the outward signs of success of a relationship. So much so that who we are gets defined by our marriage rather than who we actually are at our core. What makes us happy? I said to you at the beginning of this episode, when I described my world back then, it was about the physical things like the house, the cars, the holidays, the lifestyle. But despite all of that, I was not happy towards the end at any level. So what I'd like you to think about now is the you of the future. Not what you have for a minute, park that. Not whether you're in a relationship or not. Just you. Beautiful you. I'm going to go through some questions to try to help you zoom in a bit all on this and go a bit deeper. It might be good to journal it out or just scribble down the questions and have a really good think about them. And it helps us to remember who the fuck we are and what we want, right? How would your best friend describe you? I think it's always so interesting, isn't it? Like how we describe ourselves is often very different to how our best friend might describe us. So how would your best friend describe you? Finish this sentence. I am happiest when. Now that might be about people, and I'm trying to get you to think outside of the box of relationships, because you know I'm happiest when I am with my husband, ex-husband, but actually it's not. Go deeper, think about why does that make you feel happy? Because if it's about family, about relationships, it's about the way they make you feel. They might, you know, I'm probably happiest when I'm with my grandchildren or with my friends and with my family and my loved ones, right? But why? What? Because that's what makes me happy, the feeling of being loved, the feeling of laughing, the feeling of joy. They're the feelings that those relationships bring me, right? What have you achieved that you're most proud of? What's unique about your personality? When do you feel most confident? What's your favourite thing to do to treat yourself and make you feel good? What parts of your life are you happy with? What traits do you admire in someone? If you were going back to school, what would you study? Or if you were in a library, you know, you remember those old school places, you get proper books. If you were in a library, what section would you find yourself in and why? Who are you most inspired by? Either someone you personally know or someone in history or a celebrity. Who inspires you the most and what about them inspires you? What virtues would you most want to increase in yourself and why? What do you find the most beauty in? What are you most moved by? And one more, what would you spend your time working on if you could succeed but no one would ever know that you did it? What would that be? I hope that's helped a little bit in trying to think about who you are, rediscovering who you are. Because that is the first real biggie, I think, in starting to create your new vision for your new future. Who is the you in that future? What makes future you tick? What makes future you happy? What makes future you smile? Think about all of this and really zoom in on that. If I asked you to write a couple of short sentences on future you, how would you know that you are at your 10 out of 10 self? What's future you's 10 out of 10? So I hope that's helped to start you thinking about some clarity on your vision for your identity, for you at least. Helped you to think about, dream even, of your future, how you might feel. Now, I fully intended on going on from this part of creating the vision from who we are into how we might start at a practical level to bring a new vision into our reality. However, I realise that we're now about 25 minutes and I've still got a list of things I want to touch upon. And I've also given you an awful lot already to think about so far this week. So What I have literally just decided to do is, and I've not done this before, I'm going to turn this episode into a part one episode. And then next week, I will do a part two episode on essentially activating our new future. I hope that's okay. I think it probably is less overwhelming if I think about it, if we break it down into more easily digestible chunks, maybe. I hope that's okay. If you spend the next week pondering over the questions that I've suggested today, that will really help actually when we then move on to the next part, which I think some space to think about that before we move on to that next part, which will be really helpful. So that will now be next week. You know, at the heart of this whole episode and the premise for trying to do this episode and now next week's episode is that I recognise that a new future post-divorce is really fucking scary. I see it, right? I've lived it. We've got this blank slate ahead of us and no idea what to do with it. And because of that end of history illusion I talked about, with the destruction of our intended future as we'd expected it to be, it's just too hard to even start to think about. And so what I'd love for you to do is start to work through a plan about future you. And next week we'll start to think about activating that. It can help you at least start to plot out the next steps, almost like picking up a pen and a blank page and starting to plot out the next few chapters of your story, which ultimately is what we're all about over here, right? Turning the divorce plot twist into a new happily ever after. That's what I want for you. So that's now it for me for this week. Thank you, as always, for listening, and I'll be back in your beautiful earbuds again next week for part two. Thank you, and I'm sending you loads and loads and loads of love from me. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to this episode of the Divorce Chapter Podcast. If you've enjoyed the episode, please could you do your girl a solid and rate and review the podcast. Wherever you listen, there should be an option to rate and review. And honestly, I can't tell you just how much it helps the podcast algorithm thingamajigs, whatever. And bonus love for me, if you share the episode with your friends and on your socials and tag me in it at the Divorce Chapter. Thank you again so very, very much. I appreciate every single one of you beautiful humans. Have an amazing day.